Just singing that song reminded me of one time when I was working at a summer camp, and we sang that song. Somehow me and four other guys sang it as like a little, not a quartet, but just a little ensemble. And we did it so badly that afterwards my youth pastor came up to us and said, "I'm glad it was well with your soul." Yeah, so that's when I knew my future was not in music. So Psalm 34, let's go ahead and stand and read Psalm 34. A couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, we went through the first part of this. And tonight we're going to go through the second part. So Psalm 34, it says, "A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed." Verse 1, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." Lord, we pray that as we look at the psalm, you might open our hearts to behold the wondrous things that are in your word. That, Lord, this praise and really sermon of David's would be one that would reach our hearts this evening. That you would teach us from the experiences David had, that we would learn those lessons. And God, we just pray you would help us with this, that we, Lord, might run to you as our refuge and our strength, and might walk in your ways and enjoy your blessings here and forever. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this setting of the psalm is really found in 1 Samuel 21 and 22. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at this story a little bit. David is on the run from Saul, and David makes some interesting choices. He runs up to the priest, and he basically lies to the priest
about what he's doing in an effort to evade Saul and get supplies. And then he gets some things, and it ends up that Saul, in his anger about what has happened, kills the priests who aided David based on David's lie. So we got a messy situation here, and David is in such a desperate situation that he runs to the city of Gath, which is in the land of the Philistines. That's one of their main cities. Gath is also where Goliath, the most famous Philistine, is from. And David has run, and on his run, and when he went to the priest, he asked for supplies because he didn't have anything, and he was given a sword. And guess whose sword it was? It was Goliath's sword. So you have David going to the city of Gath, the home of Goliath, and he's looking for a place of refuge to hide from Saul, and he shows up with Goliath's giant sword at the gate. You can just imagine, right, how the people in Gath might respond to David showing up like that. Like, here's the guy who killed our champion, and now he's standing at our door begging for help. So David immediately realizes this is a very bad plan. And he, according to the title of this psalm, it says this is the psalm he wrote after he pretended to be mad. So he acted like he lost his mind, like he's a crazy man. He's drooling all over his beard. He's like scratching at the gates. And the leader of Gath decides through the good hand and mercy of God that David is crazy and he doesn't want to deal with him, and he sends him away. And then according to 2 Samuel 22 or 1 Samuel 22, David goes to the cave Adullam, and there a couple, about 400 men gather around David, and that would be the setting for him writing this psalm. And so the psalm in the first 10 verses or so really focuses on a hymn of praise. In fact, Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, commenting on this, said the first 10 verses were a hymn of praise, and the last part of the psalm was a sermon. So the thing we looked at last week was David's basically praise in the pain that he was in. Have you ever made a mess of a situation? Okay, I have, even if you haven't. I've made a mess of a situation. It's been my own mess. And yet God has been gracious over and over and over to make it turn out much better than I deserved. And that was kind of where David was here. He was trying to run from Saul. He was desperate to save his life. He lies to the priest. That leads to all kinds of trouble. Then he runs to the Philistines, all kinds of more trouble. And yet he says, verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. So David makes a commitment to praise God in the early part of this psalm. And he says, I will bless the Lord, verse 1, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So David is doing all this praise early on, and I'm not going to recap all of that. But if you look at verse number 11, you can see a transition here. In verse 11, he calls for the children. And so if you're a child here, this is your cue. He says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This morning, Pastor Derek was talking about Solomon as the preacher in Ecclesiastes, meaning that he's calling the assembly. He's convening the people together to listen and hear. He wants to teach them wisdom. So David is here in his cave, and he is realizing that God has shown great mercy to him. He's offering praise, and then he's got these 400 that have gathered around him, and he's saying, come, you that are coming to me, that are looking to me for leadership, my children, listen, listen to what I have to say to you. David is going to give us some instruction in the second half of the psalm about how to live the good life. Who wants to enjoy the good life? David's going to teach us something. Now, what he's going to teach us is going to have directly to do with the problems he's just encountered. In fact, he's going to tell us some lessons that he's learned. He's going to guide us to not make the same mistakes that he made. And so the first thing I want you to see here in verse 11 and 12 is that there is an invitation to learn. An invitation to learn. Now, this is so, so crucial. As parents, we try to teach our children to listen, right? And kids, if you're looking in the Bible for what God wants you to do, you'll find it's pretty simple. Children, obey your parents, right? You're told to listen to your parents because you need to learn things. You can't learn things without listening. I have to remind myself of this. I have to remind my youngest of this often, that the way to learn is not to talk all the time, especially when you're asking a question and then you're talking instead of listening to an answer. The way you learn is you listen. And that's hard for all of us to do. And David says, come, listen to me. Listen to me. Now, if you already know everything about the fear of the Lord, if you're already in the perfect place spiritually, you've already grown so much that you have nowhere else to grow, then I guess you don't need to listen. But I'm going to assume that none of us are in that place, right? All of us need to listen. From the most mature believer to the most immature, we all equally need to listen. And so we're called over and over and over and over again in the scripture to listen and to hear what God has to say. If you want to be on the good life, you have to learn to listen to God's wisdom. If you want God's blessings in your life, if you want to avoid the troubles that David is going to warn them about, you have to listen. You got to develop that attitude of saying, Lord, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to understand better. I want to see where I'm wrong. I want to make progress. So this is David's invitation. He's the musician, the psalmist of Israel. He's a mighty warrior, but here he doesn't want to teach them about music. He doesn't want to teach them about warfare. He wants to teach them about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What do you know about the fear of the Lord? It's a big topic. What does it mean to fear the Lord? You might picture a small animal cowering in fear. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. It's not that you would be terrified and hiding in fear. We're thinking more about the idea of a reverence and a respect. It certainly includes the idea that God is almighty and powerful and great and big, and we are quite small. But we're talking about having a reverence for God. David says, this is what I want you to learn about. So what he's going to teach us in the rest of this psalm is going to be about what a life that fears the Lord looks like. And this is even a little in contrast to what David's experience has just been that led him to all this trouble and led him to being in this cave considering what's going on. So a wise man not only listens to the examples and the teaching of others, but he listens to what God is doing in his own life as he sees things unfold. He stops and considers, you know, what's going on here? What is God trying to teach me? Where did this go wrong? What do I need to learn? And so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. David, as you know, I'm sure, is no perfect man. And yet he's called a man after God's own heart. And part of what made David a great man was that when he failed, he found forgiveness with God. And he did things like this psalm, where he's learning from what he did. And he's teaching so that others will not make the same mistake again. So the fear of the Lord, David wants to call our attention to in verse 11. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And then we've almost got this invitation in verse 12. Again, do you want to have a good life? He says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good. I mean, all of us, even as we're confronted this morning in Ecclesiastes with the fact that our lives will come to an end point, all of us want our lives to be good. We want to enjoy them. We want to be happy that we were here, happy that we were around other people. And David says, do you want this? If you want this, what you need to understand is the fear of the Lord. You need to understand what this is. And so he unpacks that, I think beginning right away in verse number 13. So we've got this invitation, and then in verse 13 through 16, there's some instructions, and then we'll see at the very end of the psalm some encouragements for us to live by. But let's look at these instructions in verse 13. This illustrates what the fear of the Lord looks like in our daily lives. So a man who fears the Lord, what is he going to do? He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Now, do you remember what I said David did to the priest? He lied about why he was there. He went to the priest and he said that he was on a mission from the king, which he was not. David said something that wasn't true, that may have seemed like the only thing he could say in the situation, and yet it led to a lot of trouble because the priest helped David, and then there was a friend of King Saul who was there who overheard everything that went on, and Doeg was the guy's name. He goes back to Saul and tells Saul immediately that the priest was helping David, who Saul was regarding as an enemy. And so Saul came and ordered that these priests be killed. David is now in this cave in Adullam, probably knowing the news of what's happened. And David wants us to know, look, if you want to avoid trouble, be careful what you say. It must have been on David's conscience that these priests were dead in part because of his deceit. You know, what would have happened if he would have told the truth when he went there? Well, would the priests have still helped him? We don't know any of those things. But David says, look, this is what the fear of the Lord looks like. It's to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Have you ever learned that lesson the hard way? I think I have. I don't know if I've learned that lesson, but I've experienced that lesson multiple times through my life where I've said something that was not quite right, whether it was from a little boy or getting a little older, and then it comes back to bite you. David says, if you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you keep your tongue from this. Because even if you think you can fool someone else, who sees all the things you say? Who hears all the things you say? It's God. You know, so if you think, well, no one will find out if I just say this or do this, well, they may not find out, but the Lord knows. And David is calling us here. Let's not make these mistakes. Let's walk in the fear of the Lord. Let's take heed to our words. Pay attention to the words that we use. This is what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord. It seems really simple, doesn't it? It seems like this is not very complicated. There's no huge, difficult, David doesn't say, well, if you want to fear the Lord, then you need to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and crawl on your hands and knees for the last 5 miles up to the temple. I mean, that would seem like something really epic and important and significant. But he says, watch your tongue. In some ways, I think it'd be easier to make that pilgrimage than it is to watch our tongue at times. And yet David says, this is what we need to do. He says, come listen. Listen, learn. Don't make this mistake. Guard your tongue. Verse 14, he goes on to not just the words that you say, but the ways that you go. Take heed to your walk. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. seek peace and pursue it. David, in his running, he ran to Gath, he ran to Abimelech. Instead of running to the Lord, it seems that he was running on his own way, trying to get away here. Now, I have to give David a lot of credit because he spent a lot of time on the run from Saul. And David made many great choices along that way, and he ran to the Lord as refuge. But David was not a perfect man, just as we are not. And at times he made foolish choices and went the wrong way. And so he says, look, guard your steps, depart from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. This is what someone walking in the fear of the Lord does. They want to stay away from evil when someone's watching, but when you know the Lord is watching, they want to seek peace and pursue it. If there's anything that we need in divided times like we live in right now, is we need to walk in the fear of the Lord so that we're seeking after good and we're seeking after peace. We're not trying to make war with people. We're trying to call people to be at peace with God. So this is a choice that David gives us here. We're going to depart from evil and do good. We're going to go one way or the other. So this is the same path that's shown really all through Psalms and all through Scripture. In Psalm 1, there's the choice to be made between the way of the wicked and the way of the word. And you see that theme keep going forward. And so David is urging us to walk in the fear of the Lord and to turn away from evil. Verse 15 and 16 again focus on the results of what happens here. If you take heed to God, he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. But in contrast, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So the fear of the Lord, David wants us to learn it. It's practical. It means that we're going to think about the words that we say, and we're going to think about the things that we do in relation to God. And David says, listen, learn this. This is the secret to the good life. It's to fear the Lord. In the end of the psalm, he gives us several encouragements in verse 17 through 22. And these are encouragements for us to lean on when it's hard for us to make the right decisions. And also, these are encouragements to lean on when we already messed up and we made the wrong decision. Look at verse 17. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, part of that makes it sound like maybe this promise isn't for us when we make a mistake. Because it says the righteous cry out. Well, what about when you mess up and you cry out? Well, the whole psalm and the setting of it tells us that David is not saying the perfect person is the one who God hears. Because David was the righteous man who's doing foolish things and getting into trouble and in desperation crying out to God for deliverance. And he said, verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. So the righteous cry out does not mean the perfect person cries out. What it means is that when you find yourself away, when you find yourself where you've gone away from what God wants you, or you run into all kinds of trouble that you made a mess in, cry out to God. Cry out to God. He hears you. As a kid, I remember a few different times where my parents, one or both of them, would say something along these lines. Right? If you get hurt doing that, don't come crying to me. Anybody ever hear something like that? It's like, if you're going to be that dumb and do that, don't come crying to me about it. Now, I think my parents would probably care if I did come to them, but they were trying to say, don't do that. Stay away from that. You know, the Lord here doesn't say, when you mess up, don't mess with me. Just stay away. That's not what this invitation is. It says the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart in verse 19 and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The invitation is to come. Like the verse Samuel quoted earlier, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And Pastor Derek mentioned this morning as well. Come to me. You know, it's when we get into trouble that sometimes we let sin and we let our failures overwhelm us to the point that we despair instead of crying out to God. And David is saying, listen, cry out. Cry out, because God hears when the righteous cry. God hears when his children cry out. He hears. So wherever you're at, you can cry out. If you're in a mess of your own making, cry out to God. If you're just overwhelmed by your circumstances, you don't know where to turn or what to do, cry out to God. If you're struggling to be faithful, if you're struggling to guard your words and to guard the places you go, cry out to God. Plead with him for mercy, because God hears when the righteous cry. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many afflictions from our own faults, from the faults of others who sin against us. But it says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. John applies this passage to the Messiah on the cross. It's one of the places he says is fulfilled through Jesus' death. That even on the cross, God was guarding the Son. Even as Jesus gave himself for us, God was not letting more happen than was intended for our good. So God helps the righteous when they cry out. He hears and he helps. How many testimonies can be given of God helping in desperate situations? I could give many from my own life, and I'm sure we could go around the room and hear how God has brought deliverance. Listen, you can read through the pages of Scripture and see it over and over and over and over. So when you find yourself struggling, cry out. Cry out. Cry out to God. Don't run from him, run to him. It's amazing how the devil is such a liar that he convinces us that when we're in our greatest trouble, we should run away from our greatest help. And David says, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Come listen to me. Listen, learn from me. I made a mess. And yet God is gracious and merciful. Run to the Lord. Sometimes God delivers us by keeping us away from harm. And sometimes he just gets us through it. But David says here, the Lord is with his people and he will deliver. And he gives this kind of capstone of the whole thing in verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. That's an amazing verse when you consider what led to David writing this psalm to begin with. Foolish decisions, difficult situation, desperate crying out for deliverance. And then he says that God redeems, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. It's the gospel, isn't it? We deserve punishment for our sin. But what has the Lord done? The Lord has redeemed us by his great grace. He has sent Christ to die for our sins, so that we can take verse 22 here and we can jump straight to Romans 8 and we can say there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus has paid for my sins, I can have forgiveness. That's why when I find myself in a mess or when I find myself failing to live up to what God wants me to do, I can run to Him. Because in Him, I have forgiveness. In Him, I have cleansing. In Him, I have the power to change and be different. I have the power to live the good life. So as you go through and you try to follow after the Lord and you run into difficult circumstances or you run into your own failures, remember the psalm and remember that there's things to learn here. We can learn that we can cry out to God and we should cry out to God in the most desperate circumstances, in our most confused times. Cry out to Him. Look to Him for help and rejoice that God hears when His people call on Him. If we can run to Him, we can find the help we need, we can find the forgiveness we need, we can find the strength we need to get up like David did after all this, gather others around him and say, hey, let's praise the Lord because look at what He's done. Let's bless the Lord at all times. Let's fear the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's honor God because He is worthy. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Oh Lord, we just praise You for giving us such transparent examples in Scripture of the lives of imperfect people like us, giving us a window into David's life and some of the mistakes he made, some of the difficulties he found himself in. Lord, these encourage us, and we thank You. We thank You for giving us a realistic portrait of following You. There are times of great victory, and there are also times of foolish decisions, difficult situations, and yet, Lord, You never forsake Your people. Your ears are open to their cries. You hear these poor people cry, and You deliver them. Lord, many times You've forgiven me. Many times You've helped me and situations where I hadn't deserved such help. And God, I want to praise You for that. I pray You would help us, Lord, to remember that when we are in our greatest difficulties, whatever the cause of them, Lord, You are our great deliverer, and we should run to You. We should walk in Your ways. We should cry out to You, Lord, because You are a good and merciful Savior, and You will redeem Your servants, and there will be no condemnation because Christ has paid our sins once and for all. And we praise You for this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for gathering with us tonight. I hope you'll take the things you've heard today from the Word and the fellowship you've had and let it be your strength as you serve the Lord this week. You're dismissed.